الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله، وأولئك هم الفائزون. صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, we find in our beautiful deen, Islam, and in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many important occasions of great significance and virtue. And amongst these incidents is the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, after consulting the other sahaba like Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and many others who were present there, to form the Islamic calendar and to find that incident which he felt that was most important to begin the Islamic calendar with. And various opinions were given. But finally, all of them agreed that the hijrah was the distinction between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. We know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Makkah Mukarramah after Nubuwah, after becoming a Nabi, for 13 years. And during those 13 years, those people who embraced Islam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the group of believers, together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they underwent great persecution. It was a time of hostility. They had to face various trials and tribulations. And when we talk about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we discuss those various incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through pain and suffering at the hands of the merciless enemies, the Quraysh, like when he was in sajda in front of the Kaaba. Then the Quraysh had sent Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt to go forward and take the entrails of a camel and place the embryo and the blood and the remains of the camel which was slaughtered by them on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَثَبَتَ سَاجِدًا. He remained in that condition of sajda until Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the little daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with great effort she tries and she pulls off the entrails of the camel from the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this, there are hundreds of examples where sahaba were persecuted. They actually came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tastansir lana. Allah tad'u lana. Why didn't you make dua to Allah? Why didn't you ask Allah now to give us victory? We are going through pain and suffering. We are being persecuted, tortured. Rasulullah then, at that time, reminded them of the sacrifices of the people of the past, the believers of the past, where a person would be taken, and because he was a believer, then a core made of lead and steel was pushed through his body, through his flesh, going through his bones. All this did not deter the person from remaining on iman. Then comes a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this hijrat. But prior to that, we find the Ansar of Medina, those living in Medina, they had come on two separate occasions, a group of them, in which they pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is known as Al-Bay'a Al-Aqaba, Al-Ula Anthaniya, Bay'at Al-Aqaba, Al-Ula Anthaniya, in which they pledge full allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You come over to Medina, we will support you, we will protect you, we will assist you, we will help you. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala based the Islamic calendar starting from the month of Muharram, Al-Muharram. He based it on the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason for this was that Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was sent by Umar radiallahu ta'ala in a very far distant place. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala would send instructions to him by means of letters. So sometimes it was a bit confusing because there was no date on those letters. So he was not sure. Perhaps sometimes a rule came, an injunction came, and then it was abrogated. So which letter came first and second? It became a bit confusing. Therefore he brought it to the attention of Umar radiallahu ta'ala to bring about a calendar with some dates. And that's how the Islamic calendar came about. But there are beautiful lessons from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We go back into the annals of history and we refresh in our minds. We'll hear the names of great sahaba, the sacrifices they made at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so pleased with them. Allah gives them the highest of stages in the hereafter. And let's see what lessons we bring or we draw from that and which we can apply in our lives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given permission for the sahaba to make the hijrah. The very first person to undertake this hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Remember, it is not like how we have beautiful roads today and we have so many rest places and stops on the way and you can buy your food and it is a comfortable drive today, even by means of a train now. At that time, using the conveyance they had, perhaps a camel or a horse, and for days on end we had to travel. There was no garment, there was no way and direction and signboards and signposts for them to reach the destination with ease. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, he takes the courage and he becomes the first person with his wife and his little baby, and they're now leaving Makkah Mukarrama. Why? What is that in front of them? They want to make this hijrah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they're leaving, then the families come. The wife of Abu Salama, Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, they address Abu Salama, and they were not Muslims also. They were mushrikeen at that time. And they tell Abu Salama, if you wish to proceed, you go. Our daughter will remain with us. You cannot take her. They pull her on one side. And as this is happening, the little child now, Abu Salama's family, they say, this is our grandchild. And they pull the child over onto their side. There's a tug of war. And there's a sense of dilemma now for Abu Salama. His wife is taken away on one side, the child on the other side. Does he still go and proceed on this journey of hijrah? Or should he just remain behind in the comfort of his wife, and he had has his little child with him? But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, in every action of deen, always they give preference to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, they were able to undertake this journey and make those sacrifices. Entire hijrah is only based upon sacrifices, sacrifices, sacrifices. And the whole hijrah illustrates that no matter how much you love something, you love your home, you love your belongings, you love your family, you love the birthplace, your own hometown, but you have to leave it for the sake of Allah. So things that you covet and you love and you desire so much, you're so fond of, there are times when you have to sacrifice those things. So Abu Salama radiallahu anhu says, no, I will still proceed for hijrah. His wife is taken away, his child taken away. It is said that Ummu Salama radiallahu anhu, for an entire year, she would come every single day and sit on the same spot where her husband had left, And she would have this hope that perhaps he's going to return today. Perhaps I'm going to see my husband. I'll be reunited with my husband and my child. 1 year went on. Until some people felt pity for her. He brought back her child. And a person by the name of Uthman bin Talha, at that time he was a disbeliever. He escorts Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha right till Madinah Munawwara. And she sees the entire journey. He had so much of haya and bashfulness in him. He never looked at me with a bad eye. He never made any incorrect advancements towards me. The same Uthman bin Talha, on some other occasion, radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Iman, and he is given the key of the Kaaba. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, and Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, of course, after some time they reunited. The same Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, 4th year after the Hijrah. And today we are 1,445 years later. And we are still discussing the Hijrah, because there's so much lesson, so many lessons we can derive from this. Abu Salama passes away, he becomes shaheed in the 4th year of the Hijrah. When he passes away, either he passed away naturally or he became shaheed, when he passes away, Nabi Karim Sallam performs his janazah salah. In janazah salah, we have 4 takbirs. Nabi Sallam made 9 takbirs for him on that occasion. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, anasita, am sahuta? You made a mistake, you forgot. How come 9 takbirs? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show and to honor Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala on the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made this extra takbirs for him. And he said, even if I had to make 1,000 takbirs, lakana ahlan lidhalik, Abu Salama deserved that extra takbirs. And Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, what pain she went through. And when Abu Salama passes away, Nabi Sallam teaches her dua that, oh Allah, give me, reward me in the musibat that I have been afflicted with. I must have sabr, and Allah, you reward me and give me somebody better. And she would think that who could be better than Abu Salama? What a loving husband, what a kind husband. Not knowing that Allah instructs Rasulullah Sallam then to propose for Ummu Salama. And she becomes the wife of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She becomes the mother of the believers. She's part of the Azwaj and Mutahharat. Allah honors her in this world and in the hereafter in this way. Then you find people like Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala. He also is leaving, making hijrah, and they went secretly in the beginning. As he proceeds, Abu Sufyan comes and takes away and usurps all his properties, his house and everything. It causes him much grief and much pain. Finally, when he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam later, Nabi sallam tells him, "Ama tarda an yu'tiyaka Allah biha daran fil jannah?" Abdullah, won't it please you that Allah will give you a house in paradise in lieu of the house that you have sacrificed here in Makkah in this world? He says, "I am happy, ya Rasulullah." Suhaib ar-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, he was not a person from Makkah. He was not an Arab. He was a non-Arab. He brought Iman. He went to great persecution. As he is leaving, the Quraysh come to him. Oh, ho, 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 Suhaib, where are you going? Atitana su'lukan, you came to us as a pauper. You had no money. Fakathura maluka indana, you became wealthy by us. We made you wealthy. Suhaib had all his arrows in his quiver. He addresses them, listen, I can shoot. And you know how good I am in shooting arrows. And after that, I will fight you with my sword. And then whatever Allah decides, oh, if you wish, I will give you some treasures I have at home. And they agree. So he takes them to his home and he gives them whatever gold coins and silver coins, whatever treasure he had. And he gives it to them so that he may be able to make this hijrah without any interference from them. So they allow this. He sacrifices all his wealth that he had kept as a treasure, that perhaps one day I'll be able to gain back this treasure. When Nabi Karim Sam meets him, he tells him, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk. Suhaib, your deal has been very profitable. You have gained great profit in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suhaib is surprised, Ya Rasul, nobody knew about this. And he says, definitely it must have been Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who informed you about this incident. Amir bin Abi Rabi'ah and his wife Layla, they were the first couple to make the hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Dhamira bin Abi Is radiallahu ta'ala, he is a very weak sahabi. He is blind. But he also takes the courage. Why? Rasulullah has given this command. They had this strong iman. Despite his being blind and his weak body, he proceeds. He has people to assist him on the way. He just reaches Tan'im, just out of Makkah. And normally Masjid Aisha, Tan'im, we put on the Umrah, the Ihram, when we are making a second Umrah. So he passes away there, and he is buried in Tan'im. Allah revealed a verse, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, which means that person who has made hijrat for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emerged from his home making this hijrah, and he passes away whilst making this hijrah, his reward has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, the bosom friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's waiting to make this hijrah. He seeks permission. Ya Rasulullah, let me go. He says, no, wait. Perhaps Allah will give you a companion to go with. And suddenly, now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed by Allah to he himself make this hijrah. And before that, now Sahaba started living in droves. Especially when he came to the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Umar and his brother Zayd, the sons of Khattab, they both are leaving. And then we find that again the leaders of the Quraysh want to attack Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Or they try to stop him. He addresses them very boldly. And he says, if anybody wants his mother to bereave him, and his wife to become a widow, and his children to become orphans, then meet me behind this valley. Nobody dared to attack Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar and his brother Zayd. Zayd ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, perhaps we don't hear his name so often, but Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, سَبَقَنِي إِلَى الْحُسْنَيْنِ, that this brother of mine, he preceded me in gaining two things. أَسْلَمَ قَبْلِي, he brought Islam, Iman before me. وَاسْتُشْهِدَ قَبْلِي, he already got his shahadat. I have still wait for martyrdom. So they proceed in this way. And Nabi Karim some goes now, it's midday, it is absolutely hot, intense heat. He goes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates, she says, she was a very young girl at the time. And she says, Rasulullah would visit us often, but not at midday. We were surprised he came at this particular time. And Nabi Kareem some tells Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, gives him the glad tidings. As-suhba, as-suhba. That Allah has now given permission, and you will be my companion now on this journey. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala becomes so overjoyed that he breaks down in tears. As his daughter Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that I did not see any person in my life before this crying out of happiness. Normally a person cries when he's in pain or some grief. I saw my father crying out of happiness. He already had two camels prepared. And he gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refuses only until he pays for the camel. He says, I also require my full reward on this hijrah, this migration. And they proceed. In the meantime, they make this intention now to, and this plan, now we are going to make this hijrah. So they decide at night we will leave. In the meantime, in Darun Nadwa, that was the house where the kuffar and the mushrikeen would meet, and they would have the assembly and the meetings, and they would plan and plot against the Muslims. And they're deciding now, because they heard and they've seen the Muslims are now leaving Makkah and making hijrat, and they're going to Medina. And how can we just allow them to go like this? What shall we do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And various opinions were given. And shaitan comes in the form of an elderly Najdi sheikh, and he gives this solution to them. They take one person from each tribe and wait outside the house of Muhammad. And the moment he emerges, when he's going to undertake and embark on this journey, each one of you together must kill him so nobody can blame any particular tribe. So they agree and they all surround the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put in his place Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Ali was a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and later would become the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu ta'ala is consoled by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reassured that no harm will ever come to you. Another reason for keeping Ali radiallahu ta'ala behind, and this is a very important point for all of us to understand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the enemy hating him, they still kept the amanat by him, their trust. He was al-Amin al-Sadiq. Even before becoming a Nabi, they knew him as the most trustworthy, the honest person. So they had some positions of theirs that they would keep as a wadi'a, as a trust by him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, they are my enemy and I'm making the hijrah, so I'll just take whatever position they have behind me and I will use it. No, each person was to be given his due. And he kept Ali radiallahu anhu in charge. Oh Ali, when I leave, make sure you give each person his right back. This is Islam. This is the beauty of Islam. Nonetheless, at night, Nabi Kareem emerges. And he comes out and Allah makes those young people from each tribe of the kuffar, Allah puts them off to sleep. They become blinded. Nabi Kareem goes past them. He actually sprinkles some sand over their head. وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. He recites these verses. He meets Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they go out on this hijrah. Some person spots them somewhere. And then he comes to these people. What are you doing here? It was the morning. They say, no, we're waiting for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, we saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam going. So at first they did not want to believe. They open the door and they're about to attack and they say, it's Ali radiallahu anhu. And then they realize that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has managed to escape very easily. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu go to the cave of Thawr. And before entering this cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala goes and he cleans this cave. And wherever there were holes, he stuffed them with some material. And there were just two holes still remaining and he didn't have sufficient material to close these gaps. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr are tired. He lets Rasulullah rest and the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does not tell Rasulullah anything, but he takes his two feet, the soles of his feet, and he closes these two holes, these two gaps. And after some time, as Rasulullah is sound asleep, we find a scorpion biting the feet of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And he bears the pain. He bears the pain, endures the pain. And after some time, tears come down, rolling down his cheeks and fall to the face of Rasulullah who now awakens. Abu Bakr, what's the matter? And then he says, Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. Nabi Kareem sort of takes his lu'abi mubarak, his mubarak saliva, he reads, and he rubs it on the soul of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and immediately he is cured. The enemy, they come right at the cave, at the mouth of the cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu is worried. He says, Ya Rasulullah, if I'm killed, it's just one man. If you are killed, if you are made a martyr today, halakat al-ummah, the ummah will come to an end. Nabi Kareem some consoles him. La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Verses that come down. Do not grieve. Verily Allah is with us. Another lesson of the hijrah. We go through various challenges in our lives. Somebody has got a financial problem. He's got a lot of debts to pay. He's just not coming right. Some sister is divorced or she's being abused by her husband. She's living in that condition. And she's crying to Allah. Somebody has got some disease. And for years, he is not gaining any cure. And this message is for every one of us. Not only when you are fearing an enemy. In any field, any problem that you have in this world, remember, do not grieve. Inna Allah ma'ana. In fact, there's a book, Do Not Grieve. Or don't be sad, by Sheikh Dr. Aid Al-Qarni. A very good book, it's in English. And if you read this book, it will give you a lot of strength when you are all down. So, inna Allah ma'ana. And then 3 days they remain in the cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abdullah brings some information about the Quraysh, whatever they were plotting during the day. And Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, she would bring food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her father. And she would tie the stiffen with a belt, a girdle that a woman wears around her dress. And she would tie this belt, she broke it into two pieces. And therefore Rasul called it Zatun Nitaqain. So two pieces, two straps of the belt. One was which a woman uses around her waist, and the other to tie the stiffen to bring the food for them. And they had a guide who was a disbeliever. Some ulama, there were difference of opinion later whether he accept Islam or not. But he was the guide showing them the route to Madinah Munawwara. And Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu would bring, he was the slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would bring milk for them during the day. Asma radiallahu anha, it's a very long incident. When her son, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he is executed by the Tyrannullah Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Hajjaj summons Asma radiallahu anha. She was blind at that time, very elderly, very old woman now. And he tells her that you must come now to me. She refuses. She says, I will never come to you. He says, if you do not come, I will drag you by your hair. She says, you can do what you want, I will never come to you. So he becomes angry. He takes his shoes and he rushes and he goes to her. And then he very sarcastically tells her, what do you have to say? How do they deal with the enemy of Allah? In other words, her son, Abdullah bin Zubair. What do you have to say? How did I deal with the enemy of Allah? She says, you know what? By you killing him, you have destroyed his dunya, no problem. But in doing so, you have actually destroyed your hereafter, your akhirat. Then he said, I heard they called you Zatun Nitaqin. She says, yes. My master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me that title. And that was the belt I broke into two pieces. One to tie my dress around my waist, and the other one is to tie the food that I took for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they emerge now, they're traveling. Suraqa bin Malik, remember, there's a heavy price on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 100 camels, dead or alive, you find him. You'll get 100 camels. People are in pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suraqa bin Malik comes and he spots Rasulullah and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Naturally Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is worried. Nabi Akrim consoles him. Allahumma kfinihi bima shi'it. Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'it. Allah, save us, suffice us. Allah, you protect us from the evil of this man. And as he is riding his horse is actually sinking into the earth. He realizes that this person has made a supplication. And he begs him, okay, don't curse me, and I will give you a break. The moment Rasulullah says, okay, that not, no harm will come to you, or something to that effect, again he tries to come towards Rasulullah and advance towards Rasulullah to attack him, or to capture Rasulullah. Three times it happens, and each time he's now sinking more and more deeper into the ground, and then he gives up. And then he pleads to Rasulullah to let him go. Nabi Rasulullah allows him. He tells him, you can go. And he says, okay, I will do you a favor. Any person I see now coming this way, I will tell them, I have searched this entire area and you are not here and you may travel freely. And then Nabi Sam tells him, Suraqa, what do you have to say that one day when you will be given the bangles of Kisra, the king of Persia, something impossible to understand and conceive at the time. I'm a Bedouin from the Banu Mudlij tribe. I will get the bangles, the gold bangles of the king of Persia. The day came in the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala when Kisra was destroyed and the treasures came. Umar radiallahu ta'ala remembered Rasulullah SAW what he told Suraqa. Suraqa, where are you? And he hands it to him. And then Umar says, Alhamdulillah alladhi, praise be to Allah who took away this bangles from Suraqa, from Kisra and gave it to this simple sahabi Suraqa radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Karim, there are so many other incidents, but we have to now come to an end. Read the Hijrah and look at the lesson that we learn from the Hijrah of Rasulullah. It was based on sacrifice. Remember, they had Allah and Rasulullah to please. They sacrificed their belongings, their hometown. Even Rasulullah, when he left Makkah, he turned towards Makkah and he shed tears. He addresses Makkah, oh Makkah. Remember, he was born, his hometown. And he says, I love you very dearly. Had it not been for your people who are throwing me out, I would not have left you. And now finally they are coming and they settle in Quba for 2 weeks, for 14 days. And that is where the first masjid is built. La masjid al-usisa ala taqwa, and which we are encouraged to visit when we go there. It is sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, and we get a sawab of the entire Hajj and Umrah. And then after that, Nabi Akrif now comes into Madinah Munawwara, and as he enters, we know the rejoicing of the people and how happy every person is, the Ansar, each one wishing that Rasulullah stays by him. And they go forward to pull his hand. Rasulullah says no. They try to pull the camel, he says no. Leave it. Because فَإِنَّا مَأْمُورًا, it has been commanded by Allah, wherever the camel will stop, that is where I will stay. And Anas radiallahu anhu used to say, the day the Master entered Medina, the entire Medina lit up. It became illuminated. The day he passed away, the entire Medina became dark. Rasulullah now goes, and the camel is now moving. It goes forward, stops at a place, wakes up, moves again, and comes back. And there's a plot of land which belongs to two orphans, Sahal and Suhail radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and this plot of land is purchased by Rasulullah and the Sahaba, and this is where the masjid of Nabi Sallam is then built. And opposite to that was the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was elated that Rasulullah Sallam becomes his guest. What an honor. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, and his wife would then prepare some meals for Rasulullah Sallam for that period of plus minus 7 months he remained with them. And when Rasulullah would eat, and he would leave some morsels of the food, and he would send it back to them, and they would gain the barakah of this food, and they would follow the traces of the effects of Rasulullah's fingers. My respected brothers and elders, there's so much more to explain. Remember, deen is on sacrifice. There's haq and falsehood, and hijrah determined haq from falsehood, haq and batil, and explain the various other important lessons that we learn from the hijrah. For you and I, especially now, who is the true migrant? A muhajir, Rasulullah said, Al-muhajiru man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu. A true immigrant is that person who moves away. He moves away from all those things that Allah has prohibited him from. But that is our test. That those temptations we have, those sins that are inviting us, whatever it may be, like how Sahaba abandoned their hometown, they made the sacrifice for the sake of Allah and Rasulullah. And likewise, they abandoned all evil and all sin. You and I should abandon all evil, and we also will, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be regarded as al-muhajir. Obviously not like the muhajir who went from Makkah to Madinah, made that sacrifice, but he will be rewarded, because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who makes that hijrat, and who has iman, and he sacrifices, and for them there is great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the rich history that we have, and the lessons derived from thereof, and we can make amal. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.